The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. We are here. Eddie Conyers joining us a little bit later on. The legendary figure in Alabama who's being honored this weekend. Mark Kubiak joins us later as well. What are you talking about? He is the producer of this program, and he has something to say before we go off the air. For good. Gary is in Vegas. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I got a question for you. This will wind up being a financial question, probably. But I graduated from South Carolina in 84, and there's always been this debate, even before South Carolina went to the SEC in the early 90s, I think. They were an independent team back then, and they played teams like Michigan, Notre Dame, Nebraska, USC, and Clemson would always play in the ACC schedule and play no one, basically. And there was always a debate that we would finish, 7-4, and they would go 10-1. Well, we're going to the Orange Bowl, and are you guys even going to a bowl game? And it seems like the same way now with us being in the SEC, outside of that 1 year with Spurrier, I think, where we went to the SEC title game, is it better, and I guess this is my financial question, is it better to be in the SEC in a, 8-4, 7-8, or to be in the ACC and be like, going to the Orange Bowl, but not really play anyone?
Well, Gary, it's an interesting conversation, but ultimately it depends. Clemson, for instance, has won two national championships in recent years. They played for, I think, two or three other titles and have been in the playoffs consistently. Would they have had all those appearances had they been in the SEC? I can think of 1 year that I think Clemson legitimately could have gotten through it all the way and won the title. But it's not really only about that. It's about the financials, as you said at the beginning. If you play in the ACC right now, I'm going to project this out to when the new television contract goes into effect in the SEC. If you go 4 years out from here, once that has been integrated and you get Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, it is possible that every SEC team could collect more than $100 million a year to supplement their athletic department through television revenues. The ACC would be lucky to be half of that. And that's really where the difference lies.
Wow, that's huge. Not eight, because South Carolina was part of the ACC up till...
South Carolina was in the ACC until the, I think, late 60s, early 70s, late. They got out. Then they went into, I can't remember if they were in the Metro League. They may not have been, but they were an independent for a long time. And then, obviously, in 1992, they entered the SEC with Arkansas. Josh is in Arizona. Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well, Josh. Thank you.
I was just curious what you think about the NIL circling back and pretty much being retroactive with some of the sanctions that they're looking to hand out. How do you think that will affect some of the bigger programs that have more money?
Josh, first of all, I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
You don't think that they'll circle back mentioned?
They would be walking into a landmine of litigation if they decide to do that. And that's the one thing they don't want in college athletics because of the record that they've already had. It's one thing to threaten, but it's just downright laughable for people in college athletics or the NCAA to suddenly remind its member institutions what the rules are, because the rules don't matter anymore. And I know that sounds like I'm just a guy at the end of the bar throwing that out, but they really don't. And there's evidence of that. And you know, Ross Dellinger was on here about 30 minutes ago saying that the NCAA enforcement staff is down about 15 or 20 people. How do you, I mean, we're not talking about a supply chain company. How does the NCAA enforcement staff find itself down that much, other than the fact that the NCAA has just prioritized other things and has realized that they don't have enough, they don't have the money to fight these cases. They have gotten whacked at every step, especially in the case a year ago, the Austin case, which was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court, the majority opinion by Neil Gorsuch, and a scathing additional opinion by Judge Kavanaugh. If you think the NCAA or anyone in college athletics has a leg to stand on in one minor in any litigation, just read Judge Kavanaugh's majority opinion along with Gorsuch. It's truly remarkable. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Stephen is in Little Rock. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Paul. It's member institution, what the rules are. But it's a rule.
You doing all right today?
I sure am. Good afternoon.
I'm good, good. I've been trying to get in touch. I've been trying to get on here for about 2 or 3 weeks, but now I'm here. Listen, I got two questions I want to ask you about Arkansas athletics. Is one about where is the ceiling with Pittman and the Arkansas Razorback this season going forward? And what do you think about all the players that Arkansas has brought in on for basketball this year?
Stephen, let me start with basketball. Yeah. If Arkansas, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Arkansas will be possibly the preseason number one team in the country in basketball in a couple of months. If not, they'll be in the top two or three. They have had an enormous class. That program is literally on fire. Two Elite Eight appearances under Coach Musselman, and they are back. There's nothing about it. Coach Pittman is not quite to that level yet, but I think you're going to see a phenomenal year this year by Arkansas. A little bit of a challenging schedule with that opening game against Cincinnati, but Arkansas will be favored. The tricky game against A&M. And then the usual suspects. But I expect great things from them. Thank you for the call. Let's go from Vegas to Arizona to Arkansas to Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Hey, I wanted to call in and wish Kubiak good luck down the road. And I hope Larry from Shelby calls in and has a Bud Light toast for old Smirk. I mean, don't you think Larry needs to do that with Smirkley?
I would hope he does, but you know, Larry and Smirkley never really cared for one another.
Yeah, they never really hit it off too well, but anyway. Hey, Paul, I've been listening off and on this week, and seems like people been taking some shots at me a little bit. Have you noticed that?
I have, with glee.
Oh, come on, Paul. I mean, it's funny. It's just the usual suspect. You know what I mean? It's like Joe from Redneck, your publicist John from Louisville, your paralegal Augie. But the best was yesterday when I heard I-Man take a little swipe at me for basically a year and a half ago telling you guys that the price of lumber was going up to basically forewarn everybody. Inflation is coming, commodity prices are going to go through the roof, and everybody just wanted to make fun of it, like I was talking about just strictly lumber. I mean, Iron Man's got to quit snorting all that those fumes from his AC business and get with reality. What's really funny, though, about his call yesterday, it reminded me of a call he had from like 6-7 years ago. I mean, just those basic, old, tired, lame swipes at Jim. It started to make me think, Paul, I-Man's the only thing that's consistent from the good old days. You know what I mean? I-Man's calls, he could go from the good old days to today real consistently. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've pointed out a couple of times that I-Man does seem to be obsessed with Jim.
Yeah. And all those little funny one-liners about, you know, mom or on the porch, all that stuff. I mean, it's the same call I've been hearing for, like I say, 6, 7, 8 years. But, Paul, the funny thing is some a lot of people, if I call in, they act like one of the common lines is, why is he calling the SEC Network? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've heard that a half a dozen times.
Well, I'm going to come clean to you, Paul. I've had an interest in the SEC for at least the last 10, 12, 15 years. Because what's really funny is I get the SEC. I get the SEC is all about winning. I like to cut on the SEC because a lot of the propaganda that you and your people like to spin is that the only people that can win are in the SEC. And I'm a big fan of the graduate of a program that can compete at that highest level. But what's really funny is my daughter was a two-time All-SEC athlete. So I get the SEC, Paul. My son-in-law was a 3-year starter in the SEC. I got more Mike Clive autographs at home, you know, from plaques and awards than a lot of your regular fans have pom-poms at their favorite school from the SEC. So this just goes to prove that most of your callers like to crack on other callers, and they really don't know what they're talking about, Paul. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, Jeff.
But, you know, I'd like to sit down with you when I come down there and hopefully meet you when I come down there maybe and co-host the show when you're on vacation sometime, or you come up to Ohio and we hang out up here in the summertime.
No, you can come co-host while I'm here.
Paul, and, huh?
You're welcome to come in here any day.
All right. But, you know, I get the SEC. That's why I like your show, Paul. I mean, I get the SEC. I understand it. I've been to a lot of SEC campuses. But I also like to take some cracks, you know, because it's just the way it is. But people really don't know what they're talking about half the time when they're cracking on these other callers. You know what I mean?
Well, Jeff, great to hear from you. Welcome to the SEC. We didn't realize you were part of the family, but you're welcome here any day of the week. You don't think he's welcome?
No.
I think he's welcome. We let Yankees in every once in a while. We'll take a short break. After Kubiak leaves, we may not ever let one back in. We're taking a break here. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. It is great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. Vance is up next in Georgia. Hello, Vance.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. I just listened to our boy Jeff, who I have referred to, saying as this is a common term by some individuals on your show, sometimes a very sapient caller.
Right.
And was he not just saying that, you know, people call in and talk about others? Didn't he just do the same thing?
He did, yes.
I was kind of curious about that. I thought, and didn't you have this mealy-mouthed crap about my daughter was a two-time this and that, my son was this, that, and the other? Now, he had a good point about lumber. I'll give you that. But, you know, the other, it sounded like a little bit of a CS call, didn't it? Like trying to kind of, like a cat rubbing up on your thigh saying, I like you guys. I mean, if you're going to be a son bitch from Ohio, then be it, stay it, and be proud of it.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I mean, it was almost like he had just, told us, some great secret. Like maybe where the lost ark is buried, or
Or you mean that Iron Man brings up?
Well, no, he revealed to us that his daughter played sports at an SEC school.
That's outstanding.
Well, that differentiates him from so many other people in this part of the country.
And he's been to so many SEC campuses. I want to know what.
He never told us that.
Didn't, oh, by the way.
And by the way, let me ask you a question, Vance. If your daughter started 3 years in the SEC, wouldn't you tell us where?
I'd do everything but say her last name.
Yeah, I'd be proud. My daughter played tennis or basketball or volleyball or softball at the University of Kentucky.
She might have been a gymnast.
Yeah, could have been whatever she was. And his son-in-law started too, but he very... carefully left that part of it out. I guess he's going to reveal that next week after he breaks into Al Capone's vault.
Well, he's going through a litany of callers that have been giving him a little guff on the show lately. I guess he can add me to the list now too.
Yeah, you're.
Oh, and by the way, Jeff. Yeah, by the way, Paul, didn't he call last week? And when him and Jim called you up and double teamed you and were giving you all this crap.
Oh yeah.
And he's saying that you're not very inclusive about the whole country.
Yeah.
And you're okay. I just want to make sure I'm not insane. Didn't I hear you interview Mario Cristobal last year when he was head coach at Oregon?
Yes. In fact, last Thursday and Friday, when we were in Las Vegas, we interviewed the head coaches at. Let me see if I get this correct. Georgia. Oregon. Florida State, Boston College, Notre Dame, NC State,
mm-hmm.
Florida State,
and
Cincinnati.
I've heard you interview Luke Fickell at Cincinnati.
Yeah, we've had him on a couple of times. And we are always willing and interested in doing that because we view ourselves as yes, we know what channel we're on. That's kind of hard to miss when you walk in the front door every day. But we also feel like this is a college football presentation, and we want to be inclusive.
Well, apparently you are, but not inclusive enough to him. And I guess to put the bottle on the cap, I'm going to end it with this is something everyone down here knows, but maybe he doesn't. If you have a conference, including 1968, that has claimed 3.5 national championships with only two teams, and you got another conference that has 6 national champions from 6 different universities and multiple appearances. When y'all can claim that, Jeff, maybe we'll be up there and make you more inclusive.
Well said, Vance. Bravo. Steve is in Louisville. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve. This is the idea on Paul. Hey, it's a pleasure to be on your show, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I just had a quick. Question for you. I read this book called The Black Market. It's by Merle Code. And the man is an Adidas representative. And he worked with Bill Self at KU.
Right.
And, he's been around the block a little bit. And but he talks about just all these scandalous activities at Kansas University. And, and then he talks about, like, Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
I love Zion. He's an amazing basketball player, but that's not the point. The point is this, like, you know, Zion Williamson ended up going to Duke University just because they paid him out of pocket, for lack of better words.
He was going to go to KU,
and you know, but KU couldn't front the bill, you know. And like, what do you think about this? I mean, they call Bill Self the Teflon Don. I mean, I just think the guy's scandalous. I mean, like,
well,
I don't know. I mean, not,
yeah, I don't know
man.
Anything
I mean, don't know.
Independent of than what, what's already been reported about Bill Self, but you would be hard pressed to find anyone in the industry to believe he has done it honorably.
Right. So,
but he's won two national championships, and he just got a contract extension by his school.
But
remember, this is also the same school that hired Les Miles. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do. We have already had Ross Dellinger on, Keith Donovan. We have Eddie Conyers on a little bit later on. More of your phone calls, and then a farewell visit from you know who.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here on a Friday afternoon. Larry is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Larry.
How you doing, Paul?
Larry, we are doing well. Thank you.
First and foremost, I wanted to tell you that I really enjoy your show. Since I'm retired now, I get to watch it.
Thank you.
I really enjoy the fact that you're extremely knowledgeable. And what I like really the most is like the history part of it. And I enjoy that. I don't enjoy that cocktail hour arguing back and forth. I enjoy learning about sports.
Thank you very much.
For years. And I have several friends that they're always after me about Kentucky. I have two questions. One of them is, where do you see Kentucky finishing up this year in football? I can see them being, you know, maybe in third. I don't know. I've seen some people pick them higher than that. I don't know why they would be up any higher than third. The other question I have to you is from my two state trooper friends that we're fishing right now. One's from Tennessee and one's from Georgia. And the question is, and I don't know why they're asking me this, but they told me to ask you this. They said, and I never really paid that much attention to it, but you see all the games, and the SEC is so classy, you know, the games and the coaches come out after the game and all that. You never see any state troopers from Kentucky, but you do in all the other states. And I never figured that out. Why?
By the way, it's not like there's an SEC rule that says you have to have four state troopers around you. I'm struggling to remember. I remember I interviewed a state trooper many, many years ago who once protected Alabama's Bear Bryant, and he gave me the genesis of how it came about. So it's really up to the university. And I cannot believe, though, in Kentucky that there wouldn't be some arrangement, an agreement. And there has to be something, some give and take, and I really don't know exactly how it works. But I will find out. It's a great, it's a fantastic question. And tell your friends, would they rather work with Calipari or Stoops, as long as we're checking?
Well, we were just talking about the football game, basically, and they've been – you know, like they'll go to the games when they're on the road or whatever.
Right.
But they don't. They have this little. It's like a camaraderie among the different states and the troopers. Whenever they see each other, you know, how you doing this, that, and everything. But they say they never get to talk to the Kentucky troopers because they're never at any of the football games. And I thought, well, that's a little strange.
That's a great question, Larry. Anyway, I think it's fantastic. It's a really interesting story, which I think we'll maybe do in a couple of weeks. So just what, because you always see them. And by the way, these coaches need them. I know some people think it's overdone, but you know, you saw the situation last year at College Station after the game. I mean, Nick Saban had a group around him, and he had to run off the field. And it's not like anybody was trying to do anything to him, but you have thousands of fans on the field, and it's necessary to have a little bit of protection. Thanks for the call. Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I want to prophesize a bit. But first, I want to talk about that goober from Ohio. He had me laughing. Like, anyone wants to go to Ohio anytime, like, let alone like this summer or whatever he was talking about. But anyway, I mean, is there anything interesting in Ohio? Maybe J.D. Vance. That's about it. So, Paul, well, I want to lay out.
As far as J.D. Vance, he did write an amazing book. I don't know much about his politics, but I did read his book.
He's interesting. He's an interesting guy. It's about the only thing I've ever heard of interesting out of Ohio. Paul, I want to lay out four quick prophetic predictions. First, Arch Manning will go to Alabama.
Okay.
They will win a national title with Nick Saban. Nick Saban will retire, and Dabo Sweeney will become the next coach and have one more year with Arch Manning before he declares for the draft. And I'll tell you why. First, I think you know that Arch Manning Sr. was in Birmingham, you know, and all that with the quarterbacks club and whatnot. That's not just the reason that press is out there is because Arch will sign with Alabama. And with Dabo Sweeney, NIL is the death nail for Clemson, and he knows it. And he's young, and he's not going to tolerate, not going to be able to get back to the playoffs when he has the seat warm for him at Alabama and has the gumption and the moxie and the rings to step in after the GOAT. And he's going to have a statue in front of Bryant-Denny Stadium, Paul. This is, I hope that you record this because this is going to happen.
Well, one thing we do record these shows. I will not respond because I've given responses about that in the past, and you may very well know. One thing I do agree with you, though, is that Clemson is going to be severely challenged to keep up with other schools from an NIL standpoint, as long as the construct remains the way it is today. Sam is up next in Alabama. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Listen, my name is Chad, not Sam. Anyway, listen.
Play it again, Chad.
The reason I'm calling... I'm fine, bud. Nice for you to ask. The reason I called to follow up on that call, actually, it was weird, but my topics, I just needed your opinion on a couple of them. My okay. thing is Baylor will make the playoffs this year, okay?
Okay.
Dave Aranda. All right. He's seven starters back on defense, four offensive linemen return. They were not bad last year. I mean, no one's going to compete with him in the Big 12. I don't think. They're not there yet. You know, Venables at Oklahoma. Sarkisian kind of trying to mix it up in Texas, but no. Baylor's going to be hands down, the best team in the Big 12. They'll represent that, and I think that'll get them into the playoffs due to Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I have more competition than they think. Pac-12, forget about it. The next thing I want to tell you, and I'm going to let you speak your opinion on this, Aranda will be the next Alabama's head football coach. I imagine Nick Saban's going to have some input on this. And if he sees a future, he sees the hunger in Aranda's ability. He knows his pedigree. He's watched success. And he's not just going to bring Dabo in. You know, and I'm telling you, and this is my opinion. This is not factual. But Saban has a lot of say in the next head coach, in my opinion. And I think, you know, they're going to obviously lean because how do you replace Saban? So they're going to lean towards, you know, what does Saban think? You know, because Alabama is so used to success. Let's be honest. In the last decade, it's been very successful in Tuscaloosa. So why not Aranda? I think he will be the fit. I think he, you know, he's smart enough. He knows new age college football, and he'll work NIL. He'll get the right coordinators in. And,
well, you know, Sam, let me jump in for 1 second here. I happen to think the world of Dave Aranda, and I'm not scoffing at that. I frankly would take Dave Aranda over Dabo Sweeney if you're giving me a ticket on who would be next. Dabo's very obvious, but I just think that there is going to be some blowback on Dabo Sweeney. Nobody can argue with his record. That's not even debatable. He's got a phenomenal record, but it depends on when. All this stuff comes down to timing, and I agree. For the most part, Saban will, especially if Saban leaves earlier than later, he'll have a tremendous amount of influence especially if he says, I'm leaving at the end of the year and I want this guy to take my place. The longer it goes on, it's harder to calculate. But you made some very, very good points. Thank you for the call. Tyler is up next. Good afternoon, Tyler.
Howdy, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I was just calling to talk. You know, I'm probably one of the biggest Auburn fans out there. Auburn's got a really interesting football season coming up, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on everyone, and Brian Harsin has talked about a new spirit down there. You know, the schedule to me is very tricky. The first half is critical, and I say that because if Harsin gets off to a good start, he'll have some momentum before Georgia comes in at the end of the first half of the season, Arkansas, A&M, and Alabama.
Well, we got a big game at game three. We've got a quarterback battle that's raging. We just got a huge transfer from Miami into our wide receiver room.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn State coming to town?
No,
I remember
I went to the Penn
State game this past season.
Tyler, I think
that's a huge test at game three.
The Penn State game, to me, I think that is the bellwether game for the first half. And the reason why I think it's important is that if you lose to Penn State at home, you're going to lose to Georgia a couple weeks later. That's two losses, and then you have a couple of other tricky games in there. It puts you behind the eight ball because the second half of the season is going to be extremely difficult unless we see an Auburn team that we're not expecting. And right now, you know, optimism or not, I don't think you're going to see many people predict Auburn to have a great season. We'll hit the break here. We still have an hour and 25 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back on a Friday afternoon. Let's continue with Chris in Gulf Shores.
Paula, I just got tuned in a few minutes ago. Did I miss something? Is University of Alabama head football coach Nick Saban retiring?
Yes, and he has anointed Dabo Sweeney to be his successor.
Everybody knows Lane Kiffin will be the next coach down there. Why are they all these people calling in with all these other pretenders?
They're just waiting for Lane to graduate from high school before he gets a job.
That's it. Let me ask you something else about the head football coach Nick Saban. I've never asked you this before, but do you think that Nick could take Hizen and beat Yorn, or Yorn and beat Hizen?
You're going way back with me here. I think mostly yes. I mean, there may be an exception or two. I'd rather not mention which one that wouldn't work out, but I would say the majority of the places he could do that, yes.
Okay. I just wondered, you know, that got said about another football coach once upon a time, and just wondered if
that old fellow has been forgotten about, hasn't he?
Yeah, he sure has. Hey, let me ask you something else. Speaking about that old fella, do you believe that in 1966, that had Wilbur Jackson and John Mitchell showed up a couple of years earlier, Alabama would have been, if they'd have been on that team, they'd have been awarded the national championship?
Absolutely. That decision to deny Alabama was entirely based on the racial makeup of the Tide team, yes.
Yes, it was political. Okay. I just wonder, I'm sitting here on the front porch, drinking a little coffee, smoking a cigar, enjoying the nice weather.
Hold on a second, Chris. You said you're drinking coffee?
Yeah. I had to get up at 5:30 this morning, man. I'm struggling.
Well, I mean, I'm well aware of getting up at 5:30 in the morning, but I got up at 5:30, and I can assure you I'm not drinking coffee right now.
Yeah, but you're in better shape than I am.
Well, that would not be debatable based on the last time I saw you.
Hey, it's that
but,
guy
but
cooking,
Chris,
baby.
At my age, which is pretty much your age, I also don't have a 2-year-old at home either.
7 and a half now.
Okay,
Paul,
well, what's a couple of years
away
to make a point?
So you're going to have Eddie Conyers on, huh?
Yeah, do you know Eddie?
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know him personally. I didn't get to shake his hand down there at A-Day one year.
Yeah, Eddie will be with us in a few minutes. Well, I would say Eddie's one of the all-time characters that ever showed up on that campus.
Get him to give us some dope on both Coach Saban and Bear.
Okay, back to
tell us some Bear stories.
Well, he's not going to say anything about Saban, but he may tell us some Bear stories. So back to coffee at let me get the time right. 4:50 down on the Redneck
it ain't
Riviera.
5 o'clock
so,
yet, baby.
Are you home yet?
It ain't
or
5 o'clock.
So you're home. And
yes.
I mean, so I know this is a loaded question, Chris.
Now the wife just went to work.
But why are you trying to? I don't know how to word this. You know, stay awake.
It's your show.
As opposed to forget the. I mean, are you in charge of the 7.5-year-old tonight? Is that the deal?
Well, yeah, I've got a little bit of help from the 21-year-old stepson, though, so that won't.
You know, Chris, I have to tell you, we've known each other, what, 35 years?
Yeah, a long time. I turned 65 a week before. Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm truly embarrassed for you, Chris, that that at 65 years old, on a Friday night, and by the way, this is not just any Friday night. It's the day after Cinco de Mayo. It's Derby.
Right.
It's the Derby weekend. I mean, this is truly one of the glorious times of the year to be alive in the South. And the Chris that I knew who got engaged to wife three or four, I can't remember which one, on the Feinbaum
Number
show
two.
Back in the Birmingham studio is drinking coffee on a Friday night to stay up for what reason, I do not know.
To enjoy the Crown Royal and pretend it's a mint julep.
Because the Chris that I knew and loved back in the day, by 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, you were lucky if you could stand him up straight.
But see, after seeing a few of my friends, well, let's just say I've attended some funerals.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Listening to Larry's phone calls, I got to thinking, I don't like the word, I'm not a quitter, but temperance, you know, slowing down, you know what I mean?
And this is all about a night, and Chris, I'll bet every dime that I have that I'll get a laugh out of you with this line. This is all about a night in Bangkok.
One night in Bangkok. Yeah, it was good times, brother.
Good times.
It's already been 11
never felt
and a half
so
years
good.
Ago.
One night in Bangkok. I mean, Chris, you went to Bangkok on a vacation and came back with a wife. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Well, a future wife. We didn't get married over there. We got married here.
Well, yeah, but you may as well. Well. I mean, once you went to the father and said,
I don't want to sound racist, but them Asian women, wow.
Yeah, I've seen all the movies.
Hey, it's true.
I mean, do you hum that song at night?
Oh yeah.
Bum bum. Remember that song? That's a great song, by the way.
Especially. Remember the chick in
Chris, we're a family show. Come on.
Remember the chick in Porky's who later on went on to play in some TV show on HBO, and I forgot the name of it.
All I can say is I'll never forget the night that I was speaking in Mobile, and I brought you in with me and sat you at Danny Sheridan's brother's table. And Michael Corleone did not give a sterner look when he gave the thumb to take Fredo out for a swim. Hey, thanks, Chris. We're up against the break. An hour to go.